Oh. the choir will come. We'll sing, please.
Thank you. Let's go. Come on. That's what I'm hearing. So I think that's what the Lord is saying to us is come on. Let's eat of that manna. Let's go to that city. And I know I can't go like I am. I was listening to the courses previous to that choir song, and it was talking about less of me and more of Jesus. And I know that's what it's going to take. It's going to take less of me and more of Jesus. And all I have to do is try to figure out or try to ask God to help me to be able to accomplish that, to be able to do that. Now, how do I do that? I know I can't do it. It's going to take a revelation from God to be able to know, have the even desire to want to be, to have more of Jesus. Make room for God in our lives. You know, in a lot of ways that we can make room. You know, our hearts. I was listening to somebody, I don't know where it was at now, but anyway, it was talking about the void. Maybe that we go to a funeral, but anyway, maybe this was at a funeral, and anyway, it was talking about the void that we have in our lives. You know, that we fill it with a lot of things, but really, we can, the only, you know, satisfaction that we have with God is when it's filled with the things of God, with God and His love and His mercy, His word, and be able to get the things of God in our life. You know, that's really when we can actually have that void. You know, that was, you know, we, you know, the Bible said God made us, you know, he the one designed us the way we are. You know, we had nothing to do with that, so he did that, you know, allowed us to have that in our life, a void that only He could fill. You know, no matter what I do or whatever I want to do, you know, that no matter what I get involved in, I've been involved in a few things in life. I've lived long enough to, it kind of scares me sometimes. I look back and I was talking to a guy. My wife was doing a coffee demo at Dillard's the other week, and this guy had, you know, been in the military, and he'd retired, and he went in after I did. You know, I mean, that made me think, well, and he had been some of the places I'd been, but it lets you know, you know, if you've been around here a while, you've had opportunities to fill your life with things. And that's what I'm saying is that no matter what I have tried to fill my life with, it did not really fill this void. The only thing that I have found that fills this void that I have in my life is the things of God. And I mean, the only real peace that we have, you know, is in Jesus. I'm telling you. I mean, I've just learned that. Somebody might have said, well, didn't you not know that? Well, actually, I really didn't. I mean, I thought a lot of good things about the Lord, but really, I've learned some things about the Lord. I've learned some things about life. And I've learned that some of the things that you can put in your life, that it won't do you any good. I'm just telling you, it won't do you any good. But I do know some things that you can put in your life that will do you some good. And those are the kind of things that I want to put in my life, is the things that will help me. Because, you know, life, it was a lady, I was reading about this lady, lived to be, I think, was 101 years old or something. They was asking her, you know, about, you know, how they do, we ask you, you know, what do you contribute your longevity to? You know, how did you get to live this long? You know, what did you do? I've read some about people that, you know, they didn't live much better than I did. They lived a long time. Maybe their genetics or whatever. But anyway, you know, I was trying to think this word she used, a term. I think she called it adaptive competence. Trying to get this word. In other words, she was saying that she had the ability. She didn't say God gave it to her, but anyway, she had the ability to be able to bounce back from life's curveballs. You know, life throws some pretty good curveballs at us. You know, because we live in this world, we walk out this door. I joke with my wife something about, you know, we're saying that, you know, we get had a habit of, she does more than I do, praying, you know, before we leave. But you don't know. You really don't from day to day when you leave home or leave wherever. You know, you really don't know what you're going to face. You really don't know what's ahead. And that's another thing I've learned this life is to not go through life, you know, having everything all planned out and have it all set, you know, like this is what I'm going to do. It may change, you know. It may have some interruptions, things in there that you didn't plan on, you know. And what are you going to do with that, you know? How are you going to handle that when things come at you that you weren't expecting, you know, come to you, hit you on your blind side? You know, you can't be protected, you know. We live in a world where you can get all kind of protection. You know, you get insurance for everything, almost. And they help you. And it, I'm not against you. I got plenty of it. But really, you're not totally protected. You know, I appreciate what we can get in this life, what man has accomplished. I appreciate everything. But you're really not totally protected. The only real protection, you know that, is through the things of God. And to have your heart right with God be able to walk with God. So anyway, it's good to be here today. Good to be in church and to have people good together, crowd out today to be able to celebrate this great holiday, Mother's Day. You know, since we do greeting cards, I've been working with my wife. I hope they retired, but anyway, it's been a busy week, and we run into all kind of people, and they just kind of share their lives with you, you know. And this guy walks, we were gonna store this morning, but anyway, we got up early this morning. But anyway, this guy comes in and was talking about, of course, his mother has passed away, and he was saying that he was trying to find this card for this lady that he called it his second mother. He don't call her mother, but he wanted this card. He wanted a card that was come close the way he felt about this lady. So my wife said, well, there's a card that said she's like a mother. You know, they got cards to fit just about every situation, you know. And so he found the perfect card, you know, that fit his situation. This lady that he kind of looked to as his second mother. His mother had passed away. He was gone. You know, he shared that with us, and he was gone. But we run into all kind of people and situations in life. You know, I didn't invite the guy out, nothing. You know, he just showed up. But anyway, that's the way it is in life. Things just show up. You know, things just happen. And sometimes you find yourself in the middle of it. You know, you didn't plan it, but it just happened. So that's why the unpredictable, you know, we have to live. That's how we have to live, because we have to live by faith in God, because we live in a world that's unpredictable. We live with people, you know, all the horror. You know, you hear about it in the news, and sometimes you almost have to just turn it off. You don't want to hear it anymore. You know, but it's that's this world we live in. You know, you think, well, we're sharing this world with them kind of people? Yeah, you are. You are. But anyway, but we're not here alone. You know, we're not walking alone. You know, we got God walking. We got all kind of help. I remember Brother Fred was telling Brother Caleb was doing something. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, he was working. And he was just having a hard time doing this job he was doing. And Fred asked him, he said, well, are you using all your strength? And he said, yes, sir, I'm using all my strength. But what Fred was referring to, I'm here, you know, to help you. You know, you're really not using all your strength, because I'm here. You know, that's where the Lord is. The Lord is by our side. You know, we got some strength that we can call on. We got help if we just call. I appreciate him today. I appreciate the Lord. You know, he's there for us. He can help us. I appreciate him today, and I appreciate what God is doing. Like I said, this is Mother's Day, and we honor our mothers. And I appreciate being in a country that have this time. I guess, you know, since, like I said, we're dealing with greeting cards, and it seemed like it's more cars sold. You wouldn't believe the people in that. You can holler. We were trying to put, you know, new cars out, but you couldn't hardly get in there to get the cars out for people. Just, you know, I think, man, it might be a Hallmark must be a profitable company, because they sell a lot of cars, and you know they're not cheap. I mean, they're expensive. But anyway, we're blessed, you know, to have wonderful mothers and to be in a church that honor mothers on Mother's Day. And good to have everybody here today. I see Brother Fred and Sister Shirley. Glad to have him here today. Bless him. I see Sister Demetria. She come occasionally. Good to have her here today. And now, Sister Sheila, you're going to have to help me. I know Mary, I know Nancy, and I know Jeremy. But Jerry Bolton. All right, good to have them. Good to have them here today. All right. I know Brother and Sister Stewart, they come. They're not really visitors, but good to have them when they do come. Now, are we covering all the bases? We got everybody? Sister Smith. Yes. Jordan and Noah. Is that right? Is Jordan not here? Kayla and Noah? And Noah, Kayla, and Jordan. What were you saying, Sister Smith? I mean, good to have them here. God is good. They are part of the Ratliff family. We were visiting with them last night. It's a wonderful thing to be able to visit with God's people. And what I'm finding with God's people, sometimes, you know, they share their lives with you. And really, you know, you can be blessed by people sharing their lives with you, because especially if they're sharing the part of their life that they're showing that the God has helped them, you know, letting you see, you know, they might have had some rough times in life, but letting you see that they're giving God the credit for helping them through the things that the bumps in life. You know, they're giving God the credit. And I appreciate that with the Ratliff family, Sister Elsie and her family, and appreciate them very much. Let's keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. She's uplifted. She's home. That's the good part about it. When we visited her in the hospital, she had been in there 24 days, I believe. And she was just couldn't hardly wait to get home. And she's home. But she's not out of the woods, but she's home. So let's continue to pray for them. And I know we got lots of prayer requests. And yes, ma'am. Getting ready for church. All right, let's all. How about that? Sister Lenniger, pray for her. She's getting ready for church. All right. Sister Splendor. Okay. Sister Donna, okay. She doing okay? Better? Okay. So remember, Sister Donna, pray for her. All right. Okay, Sister Rochella. Sister Tiffany? Okay, remember that, Sister Bill Smith. Okay. Breathe. How's he doing? Doing better. Remember Brother Connor, Andrew and Brittany's son, Brother Mike, Sidney's grandson. He had to kind of, I was looking at Sister George and Sister Lynette and Rachel. They were standing on the in the stairwell that was coming in church. But anyway, I was just looking at them, like three generations. I mean, they just was just there, you know, and I just thought, three generations, you know. They can have three generation gathering anytime they want to. You know, but anyway, that was good. I just thought that was nice. But anyway, remember Connor and pray for him and their family. Pray for them. And any other requests? Lionel Joseph. I will ask Brother Smith about a card, a get well card for him. And that the whole church, well, Daniel got it, by the way, and We'll have the whole church, everybody get to sign it. It's from us, from the church here in Little Rock, to Brother Lionel Joseph. You know, put your prayers in there for him. And but he got the card. He'll pass it around. Sister Lindegar, he got a card for Sister Lindegar as well. So let's remember them. Need your prayer. He's trusting God. You know, that's a part that stands out, you know, that, you know, he did go to the doctor and they gave him their prognosis and he didn't, you know, they weren't giving him much hope. So he just said he just won't trust God. And I appreciate that to see. You know, that's we talk about, you know, serving God, giving our lives to him in the, you know, a restored church. And we really kind of we want that. You know, I know we do. We want to see God working with his people. You know, and we're part of people that I want to use that we want that. You know, that's what we talk about. I mean, that's what we live for. You know, is to see God manifested in a people that's walking in this earth that's trusting God. You know, anytime I take my hat off to him, I really honor and go in my heart with people that's trusting God. Because one day, you know, that may be all we have. You know, we got a lot of facilities. I got aches and pains myself, but you know, we use what we can. But why not? Like Brother Smith said. But God, you know, let's trust him. You know, let's trust God. So anyway, let's remember these needs. Any other requests that we can mention here today? I know there's your brother David Angelo. Forget him. Pray for him. Unspoken, Brother Paul. All right, let's remember that. Okay, let's, I guess if the ushers come up, we'll do the offering, and let's pray for these needs. See Grandma Smith here today, Mother's Day, having her out here, and I hope she get something out of this service today. And let's all stand and take you to the place. Okay. Oh, God. Okay, brother. Jesus. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift you up this day. Pray, oh God, that you help your people. Oh, blessed be your name. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, help us. Oh, bless the God, God of heaven. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Jesus. Oh, blessed be your Lord. Touch each need, each request, Lord. Glory. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't have a plate. Oh, you got it.
Lord, appreciate Him today. Thankful for good feeling that we feel in here today, and just from the beginning, and love to come in and worship the Lord and feel His presence. And I'm thankful today to be a mother, and I know we haven't talked about that, and that's not the channel of the service, but I'll throw it in. But I remember my mom always telling me, "You'll never know till you have kids of your own," you know, and I got a long way. I mean, I know they're still young, and I've got many more things to learn along life's journey, but they bring me such joy, and I'm happy, and I'm thankful for my spiritual mother, the body of Christ, and thankful for the truths that we have and that we can serve the Lord. And so I had a request to sing this song, so I'm going to sing it. Y'all join in definitely and help me. It's my desire to live for Jesus.
appreciate being in the house of the Lord today, and appreciate everyone that's here. It's a special day, and especially for mothers. I'm thankful we still have our nation still has a day that honors mothers. Where would we be if it wasn't for mothers? The Bible says that man's without woman. Without a woman, we wouldn't exist. God gave them that honor to bring multiplication into the world. There's a little fella up here, I don't know who he belongs to. I think it's a monkey, I'm not sure what that is, but anyway, if any of you young ones, any of you children owns this little monkey, well, he's up here. They don't belong to the girls. It's a little, I don't know, she probably would take him if it, here, you want to come see? Is he yours? Is that y'all's? It is? Okay. And then I've got a butterfly. Here's a little butterfly. It's a pin. Is that theirs too? Oh, they're returning the little monkey, huh? Well, I thought she might take it even if it wasn't hers. I'd almost take that little fella. He's kind of cute. All right, well, they're up here if you need them. Appreciate our setting here today on Mother's Day. And by the way, we've got they've got some flowers still back there. If any mothers here that didn't get a flower, well, raise your hand. If you'd like to be a mother, raise your hand. Well, I hate to see good flowers go to waste, and I'd want to get off to giving them to the men. Nobody wants to be a mama that's not one. Give these young girls a flower down here, brother. Brother Boyd, look over here. Here's some girls that... Give Leanne... You have a flower? Give Sister Leanne a flower. I want her to be a mama someday, even if she don't want to be. I want you to get married first. Oh, Lord. Well, we've got some left over, and we just don't want them to go to waste. There's no sense in throwing good flowers away. Last night, we had a little church service at Brother Al and Sister Elsie's house. There's a few of us met out there and sang some songs, and I preached a little sermon, and the Spirit of the Lord fell out there in that house, and Sister Elsie and her family got blessed, and I think everybody there got blessed. I really want to say how much I appreciate everyone that went out there with us. And if you weren't invited, it wasn't that we didn't slight you in any way. She had a house full of company, and we knew we couldn't take but just a handful of people. So mainly just got those who could play an instrument and invited a few others yesterday at the work day. I'd like to say how much I appreciate the men coming out yesterday and cleaning the church so that you ladies wouldn't have to clean it. And I think they did a good job. Did y'all notice today how good a job they did? Yeah, I think they're giving the fathers a hand on Mother's Day. Anyway, I appreciate them, good men in this church. It's always, their jobs available to help us. Is my mic not on? Is it on? Okay. I might make a couple announcements just to first, Brother and Sister McGowan's anniversary is on June the 22nd. And they're having a anniversary celebration here at the church at 4:30 on the June the 22nd. I don't know if that's the actual day of the anniversary, but that's the day that they're... So, anyway, I tried to get them to go with me to the Dominican Republic, but Sheila won't let them. And so... Well, I'm scared enough of you not to mess with them. So, anyway. Anyway, so you're invited, but please let them know so they will know. It says on here RSVP. I don't remember what that stands for, but it means let us know if you're coming. Huh? Respond either way. Please respond. What does it mean? Tell me again. Respond. Oh, responde si vous plaît. Tell us if you're coming is what it means. So, well, I think we ought to. They've been, how long have y'all been married, Brother McGowan? 50 years. I think that's worth celebrating. Amen. I wish I could be here. I've already got this trip to the Dominican planned, and we moved the dates. They probably told me about it before we did the dates, but I wasn't staying current well enough to prevent it from happening. But if you'll forgive me, well, I'll do something to make up for it. And then we're going to honor two senior graduates today downstairs after when we eat. Today is dinner day. We want to invite everyone to stay and eat. But Sister Alex Weiniger graduated from high school this year, and Brother Jaron Pryor are two graduates this year. Would y'all stand up? We'd like to honor you. And Brother Al, he's going to get in on this some way or another. Where is Alex? She's downstairs. Alex, please stand up down there. We're going to clap for you both. Congratulations to both of you. I think it's a great achievement to finish your high school education, and we just want to wish them the best for their future and their decision of where they're going to go from here. They're both good young people that are young adults, and we appreciate them being a part of this church. And appreciate their parents raising them in church. The Dominican trip, I know I'll mention it again. The Wichita Church and some from this church are going over on the 20th and coming back on the 25th. and you can fly into Santo Domingo or Punta Cana. And so you still have time. That's June the 20th to the 25th. I'll go probably a few days early and try to make sure we can accommodate everybody all right, but it should be an outstanding trip. And if you'd like to go, we'll, if you need more information on it, well, just let me know and I'll be glad to help you. And I want to remind everyone, in November, is it the week of the 12th when our ministers' meeting, general ministers' meeting here at the Little Rock Church? Somebody look that up and tell me if it, I think it's the 12th, the week of the 12th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It'll start Tuesday night. So we just want to remind you of that week. We do need to, we'll be needing to make some further preparations for it and have some work days for it. But I just want to remind you so you'll have it on your schedule for that week. I want to say how much I appreciate Brother and Sister Tucker for making themselves available to the Lord to start this work. I don't remember what year, Sister Joyce. 64, yes. And so that's been... What's that, 36, 40, almost 50 years ago, 49 years ago. So, Brother Tucker planted something that was of God. It's still here, almost 50 years later. And we certainly want to honor him for that and everyone that worked with him, the Tucker family, Sister Tucker. She was the first lady of this assembly, and they say every great man behind him is a great woman, and I believe that. And I'm sure Sister Tucker was a... I do remember her, but I'm sure she stood behind him and helped him in every way that she could. Let me see. She used to quote this poem. I'll read it to you. Said, "Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common folks like you and me are builders for eternity. Each is given a bag of tools, a shepherd mess, a book of rules, and each must make, ere life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone." It used to be a poem that she used to quote once in a while. And so I'm thankful for the road that's been made out, been worked on for you and me, that's made it possible for us to be here. And so I just want you to know that we're entering into other people's labors. And I'm always thankful for children of ministers that, you know, it is a journey that's different than others, that others have, for children to work with their parents that are called to work in the ministry in the body of Christ. They go through a lot of things. So I'm thankful for Brother and Sister Tucker's children. I'm glad to see Brother and Sister Bailey here today. I appreciate them being here. When I came to this church 10.5 years ago after Brother Liniger died, I had never tried to do anything like I was trying to do. Brother Liniger asked me and Brother Weiniger to do in case of his demise. And I didn't have all the wisdom that I wish I would have had. And there was offenses, and I know Brother and Sister Bailey, I did some things that was offensive to them, and I'd like to apologize to you today and ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry. If I could have had more wisdom, maybe I could have prevented that. But anyway, we're trying to go on. Like this song said, it's my desire to live for Jesus. I really have a desire in my heart to serve Him, to get it right. I do know enough about my heart to know that I have never intentionally tried to just intentionally do wrong, but sometimes you don't make yourself, you don't make it plain, the words you say and the intent of your heart, and then, just sometimes your personality. And I know from working with Brother Liniger, it's a lifelong journey serving God and trying to get it worked out and get it right. But thank God that the Lord put something in my heart, and this ministry's put something in my heart that I think you and I share alike in, and that is that we have a desire to be just and righteous, and to serve Him and be upright in every way that we can. And that's still my journey today. It's still my heart's desire, is to do things right and fix it if I can. And when I'm flubbed the dub, somebody said. I don't hear many people saying that much anymore, but Mama, she used to say she flubbed the dub quite a bit. I guess I picked that up from her. But I want to be a part of this song that the choir was singing about. The Spirit says come and the bride says come. I'd like to be part of that. I'd like to be a part of... We were talking about that some in the last couple of weeks in Bible study. To have a desire to be in the bride of Christ. And then wouldn't you like to be a part of the bride and still have the voice along with Jesus saying, come and drink of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. And there's a scriptural setting in the Bible in Proverbs, the 31st chapter. I thought I'd read it to you. Maybe comment on it a little bit, because it's Mother's Day, and this scripture is about a virtuous woman, and it's a picture of the church. It's a picture of what we're to be, what we're striving to be, what we're trying to fit ourselves into, God's handiwork. And I don't know, there's some theological background that looks into the possibility of this chapter starting off talking about King Lemuel, that it's possible that Bathsheba addressed Solomon that way, but I don't think there's any absolute proof of it, but I still have confidence that it's this chapter is the anointed word of God. The scripture of that was given by the unction of the Holy Ghost. But in the 10th verse, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." I know that if we keep that desire to please God and serve Him and do His will, we'd like to get to a place that He could trust us to do the right thing in every situation, in every circumstance of life. "She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Wouldn't you like to say, have Jesus to be able to say that about you? "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." That's, of course, wool and flax is the material for clothing back in those days. And of course, that's part of the church's responsibility to clothe those that come in as well as ourselves with righteousness. We ought to be putting on that white linen garment of righteousness. And of course, that takes God's help. You can't do that. I can't do it. I can't make myself righteous. All I can do is come here and yield myself to God and let Him deal with us, make ourselves available to Him. And He's the one that can transform us, which is an operation of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. The true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. It takes the Holy Ghost touching our lives and us being led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Of course, they work together. For us to finally be equipped in a way that we can not only clothe our own selves, not be found naked but or with sin, but also that we've got the tools and the know-how to clothe those that come in here that have a desire to serve Him, to clothe them with righteousness, to help them with the understanding of God's character, and to help them. Did you know you can live before people in a way that gives them a desire? Like the song we were singing, "It's My Desire." Well, where'd you get that desire? I can tell you, I got it by being around others that had God in their life, and just their testimony and their witness to me put something in me. It made me, I've been in homes where I could feel God when I went in people's houses that were godly, and I could feel something. Felt the Lord. I felt a richness there that made me aware that they had something that I needed. And those different times that I was around others that touched my life, men of God, like Brother Tucker, Brother Patton, and Brother Souders, and Brother Atwell, those champions of the past, those men, they put something in me. Just being around them, hearing them talk, and watching their mannerisms created a desire in me to have what they had. I remember when I first came in this, I thought, "God, I don't have what these people have. I want it." I felt it, though. I felt what you had. And I wanted it. I think you got to want it. I don't think it can be just something that's passive, maybe so. But I think, you know, if there's something in your heart that God can really touch, I think there's something in your heart that'll leap out and begin to grab a hold. And when you do that, I know the Lord, He responds back. It's like when He saw the prodigal son coming up the road. He didn't just say, well, I hope he makes it all the way up here. But he took off down the road when he saw him. He said, oh, there's my son. I want him to know how glad I am that he's coming home. And it says she's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. And that's something I found out about this body, is that they went all the way back to the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and dug down and got the foundation of the teachings of that New Testament church. God let them look into that. They had a desire to have all that God had. And God gave them an insight. You know, you have to have a special insight in this Word of God to see what the New Testament had back there and for God to reveal it to you. It does take revelation. I know that because I know there's so many people that don't have a revelation of that New Testament church and what it did. What Jesus brought to this, to that world and made it available, that would finally become available to you and I. When, if you'll hold your place right here, but if you'll look in Revelation 22, where we read this morning, where Jesus, where John fell down before the angel, and the angel refused him to worship him, told him to worship God. But then if you read on, verse 12, Christ begins to speak through this angel. It says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate of the city. Or he said, without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto these things in the churches. He wrote a letter to the seven churches, and then outside of those seven letters to the seven churches, he wrote this whole book of Revelation. I still say it was before AD 70. When this was delivered to the seven churches, partly because of the setting here. He said, I sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Then he said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man will add unto the things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man will take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. He was talking about coming back there in judgment of AD 70. he delivered this prophecy to them so they would have some understanding of what the Lord was going to do. And of course, it was sealed up. In that it couldn't be understood for those that darkness came on the church, but it wasn't sealed up for those churches back there. They were able to look down. If you back up to the 10th verse, after he told him to worship God, not worship this angel, he said unto me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." The time was for them to see those things and hear them. It was for the Gentiles before the churches completely fell away back there. And so, thank God for the revelation that men have received down here, and the church, this virtuous woman that is bringing us this merchandise from afar off. It goes all the way back to the day of Pentecost, to that early church setting. And so, and then it says, "She riseth also while it's yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens." Do y'all know it's still night? Do y'all know it's still darkness? We still haven't come into the day of the Lord yet in its fullness and its darkness. But there's a woman in the earth, thank God, today that she's got up early. God's woke us up early. He's let us look all the way back. He's given us some things to give a portion to her maidens, to give meat to her household. I thank God for the meat that we've got today, the truth of the Word of God that this body has received, and that it's still being meted out for us. Thank God for, you know, I know I'm talking some about the ministry, but in this setting, it's part of the bridegroom's wife. It's part of the woman, a virtuous woman, a whole church. I'm wanting to be a part of the bride. I've studied women more in the last few years than I have my whole life. I never did understand y'all, but I'm working on it. I'm still trying to gather up as much understanding as I can, because I want to woo the Lord. I want to flirt with Him. I want Him to pay attention to me. I want to get His attention more than I've ever been able to get it before. I'm trying to be more honest with God. You know, did you know you have to get rid of guile, which is dishonesty? It's guile is falsehood. And you don't always know. You don't know your heart. You know, there's a lot of things that's in a man's heart, but as God, the more God deals with you, the more honest you'll become, the more sincere, the more you'll want to know yourself, and you'll want God to know you so He can, well, He already does know you, but you'll want to know yourself, and you'll want God to help you know yourself so that He can help you see how to correct anything that shouldn't be there, transform it. Change it. Get it right. Verse 16, "She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night." Thank God that for the people of God that's light. that's kept the light on in their life and kept this truth and understanding, stayed on the job, remained faithful. My Lord, what would it be if everybody gave up? What would it be if no one would serve Him? Oh God, thank God there's some people that's kept the light, their candle lit. They've kept the candle going. We've got some flickering light out of the holy place from our high priest. He's letting us see light from all the way from the early church, what they received, and the gifts that He gave come out of the holy place, part of the seven spirits of God. I don't think we've got it in its fullness. I don't think the whole sevenfold light's shining in its fullness yet, but I know that we've had a glimpse of that heaven. There is part of the candlelight that's working, burning. I'll say that the light of the Christ is, He's revealing Himself as much as He's able to. I do think He's limited because we limit Him. It's not that He wants to be limited, but He can only give you as much light as you can receive. But I do believe that part of the gifts of the ministry has been restored to a measure where it's functioning. Maybe not functioning just like it'll function when this church is fully restored, but it's functioning well enough that life from that light is given. There's life in light. And you and I have received life. Thank God for the candlestick, the light of that resides in Christ. She considereth the field and buyeth it. I read that. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold of the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Just shows the spirit that we're to have, that we're to continue to reach out to everyone that we can. We're to have a spirit of charity. And my wife and I were talking about Brother Clyde Patton the other day and the Houston church and the covering that's in that church. I don't know how many of you went to the Houston meeting, but I know several of you did. But there's a special covering there. And yet, we don't have all of our doctrine together yet, but there's places that you can feel a special covering in this body in. And I told her, I said, I think it's because that man had such a touch of God and a part of this vision. Men like Brother Tucker and Brother Patton, those men that I mentioned, Brother Atwell, Brother James Souders, Brother Mears, those men. But it wasn't so much, they were divided on doctrine, but they weren't divided on the message of charity. They had that message of charity. I think we need to work, make sure we don't lose that. That proves to you how much God loves that message, that we that we practice it. If we don't love everybody, if we don't love the needy or the poor, you know, I'm talking about the people that, you know, we reach out to see if there's anything about them that could respond to God and to this message. And if God puts us in contact with them, we are to be especially careful to reach out and to let them feel the love of God working in our lives. What touched us? I know what touched me when I came here. I know that the doctrine was something that I needed, But if it hadn't have been for the love, I don't know if I could have stayed. But the love, the way y'all treated me, the way you reached out to me, the way that you gave yourself, it affected me. I'd never been around the people that done that. And she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Y'all know that we're in a body that has enough development in it that we know there's going to be cold seasons come. We know that we're going to go through some difficult times. But did you know that there's enough strength here? There's enough strength. There's enough clothing for the winters. There's enough help. God's give us enough of the Word of God to help us get through the difficult times. I'll tell you, sometimes I've watched some of y'all go through difficult times, and I want to help you through it. I mean, sometimes I think, God, let's just help them. Let's just bail them out. I mean, I've seen people go through all kinds of financial struggles, troubles in their marriages, and you know, I've wanted just to fix it sometimes if I could. But you know, I've been taught to pray and trust God and to get my hands off of it. At least to feel on God enough to know whether or not He's putting you through something that's going to build some strength in your character, that's going to have caused you to be clothed later on for the winter, that you'll be able to help others get through the cold times of their life. Sometimes it's not easy to go through trials. None of us like trials. But it's not the mountaintop experiences that it makes us strong. But it's those down in the valley experiences that we go through that helps us. And this body, I've watched these men. I've watched people that's developed in this, that they're not afraid. They're not afraid of whatever comes, whatever we're going through. They'll stand. A day will come when you'll have to stand. Maybe make a stronger stand than you've ever made in your life. But thank God, God's put something in this people. God's put something in being a virtuous woman. I have a lot more appreciation for this chapter than I've ever had in my life. I have some knowledge about what it's talking about. You know what virtue is? It's strength. It's power. Jesus, when that little woman touched him, he said, "Who touched me?" They said, "What are you talking about? There's a crowd. They're all thronging us. We can't even hardly walk for them." He said, "No, I felt virtue go out of me." He felt strength. He felt power, the power of God go out of him and touch someone. And to be a virtuous woman, to be a strong woman. That's why I have appreciation for her. The women in this church that have stayed faithful, stayed on the job. I have a special appreciation for my wife. When we were just kids, just young kids, you know, we was just in our 20s. I got frustrated in church and quit. She kept going. I don't know where we'd be today. She hadn't kept going. I'd stay home. She'd get ready and go to church. One day she came home. I was sitting in the living room floor watching the Dallas Cowboys play ball. But God was dealing with me. God had been dealing with me. And she came in the door, and I don't know how the Spirit of the Lord got to dealing with me, and she walked over somehow and sat down in the floor by me and began to caress me, and She knew something was wrong. She said, "What's wrong?" And I just broke down. And that touched me in such a way that I went back to church with her. I knew, you know, I knew God wasn't going to leave me alone. I knew that God had called me. But I just got frustrated. But she was a strength right then during that time for me. And it pulled me out of it. Thank God for those that stay on the job and are there for others in their weak times and weak moments. Let me finish this. Our dinner's ready. And so it says, "She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Maketh fine linen, selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant." We're building something here that'll help people to gird up their minds and get their lives girded up concerning the things of God. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I'll just stop right there. Just want to say again, thank you, mothers, for your faithfulness in this church and your labors and all that you do. And then just thank you, church, for staying on the job. And I appreciate our vision today of being a virtuous woman, making the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and give the Lord a praise and pray for the food and the time of fellowship downstairs. We're not going to have church tonight. We're giving the youth are having youth service after we eat dinner, but we're giving the evening off for families and husbands to spend times with their wives for Mother's Day. So we will need to help if the men, I'm asking the men to help right after we eat to clean the kitchen and the dining room. If we'll all pull together, we can do it really in a short period of time, and the women can just fellowship and enjoy themselves until we can get it done. Anyway, let's give him a praise today. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, your mercy.